let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some off.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, proudly brought to you this month by our fabulous friends at the Dolphin Theatre. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz and find us on Spotify. Tonight we are chatting theatre with the team from the shows The Dungeon of the Damned, It Must Be Halloween coming up, Emma, and Code Word Cabaret. But to kick off the show, we are joined by two young people with Broadway beckoning, so it felt appropriate to kick off the show with Let Me Be Your Star from the musical Smash.
Fading on a girl with a hunger for fame, and a face and a name to remember.
Let Me Be Your Star from Smash. Now, I thought it was a stage show, but Emma's just corrected me. It's a TV series.
Well, it's a stage show now that has come out on Broadway. Originally it was an episodic.
Brilliant. I'm going to have to go home and do some Googling because there's some fantastic songs in that.
Oh, yeah,
album.
Big time.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. You and I have seen a few things this week. We've been busy. Really cool last night to go together to The Hunchback of Notre Dame at Playhouse Theatre. Do you know what I love the most?
What?
Seeing a full audience. It was packed.
It was packed last night. It was incredible.
Yeah, so cool to see theatre be so well supported. What a mammoth, epic production.
Definitely epic. And, you know, had moments of Les Mis, and then the choral singing, you know, was gorgeous. And I loved the way that they'd incorporated a choir of backing singers.
Yeah, which were visible, which was really cool. Earlier in the week, I went and supported our sponsors, Dolphin Theatre, with The Atom Room. That was something really different piece of theatre. Amazing set. It's really cool. What else have you been up to this week?
Ormiston Junior College, where I work, had Beauty and the Beast Junior. No, not Junior. It was the full version.
Oops. Nice.
On this week, which I costumed. So that was a busy time as well.
And went well? They were happy?
Yeah, really good.
Fantastic. Emma's destroying the studio tonight. She's ripping things out from left, right and centre.
My earphones aren't working, so I feel like I'm not on
air.
Oh,
no. I know. Now, we've got two fabulous young people in the studio to kick off our show tonight. Welcome back, Maui. Great to have you here again.
Kia ora.
Welcome. And Zion. Zion, yes. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
First time caller. Welcome. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
Now, you're both here to talk to us a little bit about an adventure coming up for you, which is Broadway Dreams.
Yes.
Ooh, Maui, tell us, what is Broadway Dreams? Because I think we all have hopes and dreams for that place.
So, Broadway Dreams is a... They do a series of week-long courses in which rangatahi get involved in upskilling in musical theatre. So they'll bring in some industry professionals.
Here in New Zealand?
In New Zealand, yeah. In America, and then in a couple of other countries.
Okay.
But yeah, so for the New Zealand one, it was last January and will also be this coming January. And basically they brought some people over from America who work on Broadway or on the off-Broadway stuff, mm-hmm. with the musicals. They acted as if we were on that audition room and on that stage and, put us through the works, and it was great.
Wow. How did you find it?
It was very different, honestly, because that was my first time doing Broadway.
Yeah.
I was told through my music teacher at school. So he didn't even tell me what it was for. He just registered me because he knew that if he told me what it was, I probably wouldn't have even
That's a good music
joined.
Teacher.
Yeah. But yeah, it was very different, honestly, in the best way possible. It was really cool.
So what's next in this dream?
So basically, we're going in November. Yes, we're going in November to New York because me, Zion, and Bianca, who's not in the room with us today, but were selected to go over from the January workshop.
Congratulations. How many were in that workshop?
That's a really good question.
Roughly?
50, around 50.
Wow.
Yeah, I seem to recall because I went to see it. I think there was about 50, yeah.
Brilliant. Congratulations. That's awesome. So what happens when you get to New York? Do you know? Or is this another mystery no one's telling you? You're just told to pack a suitcase, get to the airport? Yeah.
No, we do know with this one.
So tell us.
So we're doing another kind of workshop situation, but it's shortened to about 3 to 4 days. We audition on the Thursday and then we have 3 days with the rest of the other Americans. So basically, in all the other week-long workshops they've done in different states and different countries, they pick two people from each to go over and do this New York showcase. So we're going to be doing... like a shortened version with all of those people.
That is very cool. Very cool. Are we nervous? Excited?
So nervous.
Definitely.
All
both.
Of the above?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you been overseas before?
Not to New York. Not even to America in general. Just I've been overseas. Just not.
This is a big trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. What are you looking forward to most?
This is going to sound so silly. Honestly, the food.
The food?
The food, no, okay.
I'll ask you that when you come back. I'm going to ring you up and go, what was the hardest thing? And you're going to go, oh my God, the food. But yeah.
Whereas, Maui, you've experienced New York before.
Yes, so I did another musical theatre thing, but in a different kind of style, but very similar, which was the All Stars program. But yeah, and that was awesome. I loved it, so yeah.
Having done it before then, or something similar, what sort of benefit do you see in going all that way for something like this? What's your takeaways from a few days like this?
There's definitely a couple. I think the main one was I got some great words of advice once about drama schools and future drama schools, and that they teach the same kind of stuff, but what you're really paying for is being around people that really want to be there and really want to go all, like 100 all the time, you know? So... What I found that was really beneficial was being around a bunch of people that were really engaged and really wanted to do their best performing and their best work, and that pushed me up as well.
Nice.
It was also really great just working with people who are frequent in the industry. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to work with Fresnel, which was great, in the last one. So it's great kind of seeing their outlook on life and then being able to kind of process that and go, this is the life I'm willing to live,
and
all of that kind of stuff.
Well, I guess it's quite aptly titled, Emma, the Broadway Dreams. You know, it is that dream for so many, you know, young people doing performing arts, but this is that little bit where dream becomes reality because you get to go over and see it, but it might help forge that next dream, goal, vision.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's really cool is because Broadway Dreams is actually run by an expat New Zealander.
Brilliant.
Annette Tanner.
Yeah.
And so she's got a really special place in her heart for New Zealanders doing this journey and having the opportunity. Because, you know, Stephen, when we were younger, the thought of going to America was so beyond anything. So I know for me, when I started going with junior theatre all those years ago, going to America was just like, oh my goodness, this is huge. Mm-hmm. So for Annette to be able to take New Zealanders across and put them into the mix, and, you know, there's a couple of Broadway Dreamers that have done extremely well post-Broadway Dreams. So Scarlett Jacques, who has went and studied over there and has most recently been in a regional tour of Hairspray as Penny... I want to say Pinkleton, but I don't know if
I can't
Penny.
Either.
And most recently, she's also reprised that role as well as playing Mimi in Rent. And then Thea Erickson. Thea.
I think Thea.
Has done cruise ships as well as a couple of regional shows over there too, and she's currently over there with Annette.
Right.
You know, so it's so cool that they get this opportunity.
So, Maui, as someone who's done something like this before, give your advice now to Zeon. What should she be doing to prepare for this or to make the most of the opportunity?
The main one I would say is... pack heaps of cold stuff. Everyone got so sick.
Yeah.
I also got so sick.
Not at this time of the year. Isn't it warm at the moment?
Oh,
because remember we were there in January.
November will be autumn coming into winter.
I think it'll still be, I was told it'll still be cold.
Yeah.
But
definitely pack a jumper or two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It was definitely, it was a double battle between the general just like having fun and performing, which was not so much as the battle, just kind of the nerves of it, and then just battling your own body to get there. Yeah.
Mm. And what about once you're there, what's your advice for making the most of the opportunity?
I would say probably just engaging. There's nothing necessarily that's like super special that you have to do over there to get the most out of it. But yeah, just taking everything in and talking to people. But me saying that's like, I know I'm going to be shy once I get there as well. So yeah.
And I think it's making the most of every single minute because you're going to be exhausted because you're going to be jet lagged or your time's all funny, but you've just got to make yourself get up and go for it.
Yes.
Because there's, you know, usually about 40 or 50 people in the New York showcase and you've got that one chance to get the solo auto.
Are you busy fundraising for this? Like, how are you sort of preparing on that side of things?
So, we have a Give a Little up right now, and then also Bianca, who is not here, is doing a fundraiser, which will be what is it called?
It's a musical theatre bingo night, isn't it?
Yes. We'll get the details.
So music bingo, Gareth's famous music bingo returns for one night only. There you go. And it is at Whangaparoa Primary School on the 1st of November at 6:30. And if you jump onto Bianca's page, whether that be on Facebook or Instagram, you can find out more about that.
Yeah. Thank you, Emma.
Nice.
Shout out, Bianca.
So, Zeon, tell me, when did you sort of start falling in love with the arts and drama and music? When did it all kick off for you?
I've honestly grown up with music because my dad, he's already been into that stuff. So kind of growing up, I've just and surrounded by music. I think I only started really like engaging probably when I first started high school. And even more now that with the music teacher I have, he's given me so many opportunities, like obviously this one. So probably just this year I've only started really actually giving my all.
Nice.
Like giving more than I usually do, but...
Have you done sort of like school shows and things like that?
Yeah, we just had, earlier this year, we did the Moana musical, Junior.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I was just one of the ensemble, but the experience was great. The experience was really fun. Yeah, but Broadway in general, it's a very new thing to me. It's something that I, like, haven't really surrounded myself with, but...
So for somebody who hasn't surrounded themselves and just, I guess, treading the boards into ensemble and shows, that tells me you've got a music teacher that's seen some talent in there. they have, haven't they, Emma? To jump from 0 to 100 to I'm sending you to Broadway dreams and this is something, and then to get chosen to go to New York, someone else then has also recognised that talent's there. You should feel proud. Yeah, you should. You're very shy and humble. But, you know, that there's some people in your world saying, hey, this is a path for you.
Mm-hmm.
So grab it and go for it. Make the most of it. You know, when people believe in us, it helps lift us. But sometimes people see what we can't see as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, go you. And Maui, I've seen you on stage so many times now, I just know Broadway's waiting for you. It's got your name on it. There's a star on the door saying, hurry up and put it up.
Oh, thank you.
What have you been doing this year? Because you finished school, so you've been off at uni?
Yeah, so, of course, I've been doing my degree, but then I also got to do some theatre shows, just some associated with the university. So I've done two theatre plays this year with that. I've also been a part of Massive Nui Ensemble, which has been great. I've really enjoyed it. It's also been really useful to be able to do this kind of like theoretical drama paper stuff and stuff like that, and then actually jump in and do something really practical and on my feet decently regularly. And then I also did my Trinity Grade 8 Musical Theatre exam, which went really well. So that was nice because I wasn't actually doing much musical theatre this year except for preparing for this upcoming November thing. So being able to just do something that's musical theatre without having to commit to a whole show is really just great, yeah.
Where do you want to take it? If we crystal ball 5-10 years' time, you come back to say hello to Emma, she's still here in 10 years, what would it be?
That is a really good question. I know that I want to do performing. I don't know what kind, and I don't know where. I just know I want to keep doing it. I had kind of dreams about doing like West End and stuff, just because I also love the city of London. It's just great. But yeah, I could also very much see myself doing more performing in Aotearoa and also in Australia. Yeah. I'm pretty certain that I want to go overseas and do it, though.
I think what's really cool for you, though, Maui, is that you're so versatile. You know, you've got, like, Massive Nui is very different to a musical, you know, with devised physical theatre versus musical theatre, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I love about you is that it's that versatility to be able to do anything. Like, I could see you in movies as well. Like, I could very much see you on screen. Is screen something you're interested in?
Not really.
No.
Not really?
No.
Even after things like Tina and, like, such an iconic movie, you know?
I'm going to be so far. I actually haven't watched it yet. I know.
My goodness.
Sorry, Taylor. Sorry. All right, we're going to take a music break. After the break, we'll fill in Zion on where she can track down Tina online. But after the break, I'm going to ask them, if someone walked in the door and offered you a dream role or a dream job in this industry, what would the role be? And it might be a specific character performance, or it might be singing for an orchestra, whatever. What is it going to be? I'm going to give you the music break to have a think. Now, we've heard from our fabulous friends, Alexitron. They've got a new album out, Something New, and their latest single, Another Lover, is promising to be one of its strongest yet, with a spooky vintage Mickey Mouse themed video that's come on out. The album has received support from New Zealand musician The 13th Floor and music.nz. Here is Another Lover, Alexitron.
body was picked up to feed out.
Another lover, Lexitron. Gonna have to jump online to look at the music video to work out the Mickey Mouse connection. I'm curious now.
I just kind of wondered whether it was the high energiness of it. Like, it kind of reminded me a little bit of back in the day. What was it? Mickey Mouse. And it was kind of like up tempo.
We'll have to watch the video. Thanks, Lexi, for sending it in. Love hearing from you. Keep up the good work. And don't forget, if you've got some new music for us to play, email us info@kickarts.org.nz. All right, now back to our guests now. Zion, the challenge was, if you could have any role, someone walks in the door, offers you something in this artistic world, what would it be?
I honestly don't even have...
Would it be a singing role, an acting role, a teaching role, dancing?
Who would you like to sing with or open for? Like, would you like to be a backup singer for Beyonce or Taylor? Or
I really love, like, the R&B side of the music industry. So SZA.
Right.
I really love SZA. SZA or Summer Walker, if you know. SZA or Summer Walker, what do you think? But yeah, probably singing, or like being a singer in general. Like, that's something that I'm really passionate about. But yeah, that's one thing I would... That's the goal right now. That's the goal right now, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Maui, someone walks in the door. What's the offer?
I have three.
Okay, good. Take it away.
So it would be Little Shop of Horrors, Audrey 2, The Plant. Love that character. It would be MC from Cabaret, and it would be Dr. Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Ooh.
Yeah. I say those every single time somebody asks me, what's your favourite music or what's your favourite role? Boom, boom, boom. Done.
Boom, boom, boom. And yeah, there's some similarities in those characters.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Rocky Horror's coming shortly, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's coming back. Yeah.
I saw it in Aussie last year. Mm. Absolutely fantastic. Jason Donovan was the lead. I'm hoping he's coming, isn't he?
And I'm not sure, but New Zealander Christian Lavakim, who holds the Guinness Book of Records for playing Riff Raff the most amount of times, he's actually playing the narrator.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Okay, cool. Cool. What is it about those characters that you like so much?
I totally know. They seem really fun. Like, ridiculously fun. Fun to play, fun to watch. So I just could imagine myself doing a character like that for a while, like the length in which you would do a professional production, you know. I don't know if I'd need to play all three. I think I could probably play one and then get it out of my system, like that energy. But I do like those characters.
Brilliant. Have I told you the story about taking my parents to cabaret when I was in teenage years.
No.
So, because it links to this character of the MC. I was, in my teenage years, helping the Playhouse Theatre. We were doing cabaret. It was all very exciting. My parents were overseas for whatever reason and missed it. And I told them how amazing the show was. And then the Waterfront Theatre, do you remember the good old Waterfront Theatre? Watershed, wasn't it?
Watershed
Theatre.
Yep.
Put on cabaret. So I said to Mum and Dad, you've got to come and see it. You missed it. Come and see what I've been working on for 3 weeks. Anyway, they came along and it was Michael Hirst, back in his very young days, was the lead role as the MC. Opening number starts, he comes on fully naked. I'm sitting there with my parents going, this is what I've been doing for 3 weeks in my theatre career. And the entire opening number is naked. And I can just remember that sense of, oh, I've got Mum and Dad here. But, you know, it was probably the 90s. Yeah. Which was quite something.
I love it. I think that's hilarious. I could imagine your mum and dad in that situation. Well, I could imagine you with your mum and dad
very
in
awkward.
That situation.
But and awkward. Michael, you can also imagine Michael Hirst in his heyday doing that too. Mm.
So going to Broadway, changing the subject, are there any shows that you're planning to go and see while you're there that you're excited about? Like, what have you got lined up to see?
I got recommended that Ragtime is on for the period that we're there, which is really great.
How exciting.
I also saw that Hadestown's there, I think, with Jack Wolf. And I'm also, I hope, of course, going back to cabaret, but that it's still going on. I haven't checked.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Are there any Broadway shows that you'd like to see?
I heard one of... one with someone I know that's doing Broadway right now, they just finished doing Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think I just missed up, but that would have been one that I would have looked forward to seeing.
You have to go to Hell's Kitchen. I think you would absolutely love it. And you should definitely go and see The Outsiders.
Okay.
There's my recommendations for you. Mm-hmm. They are both fantastic. So Hell's Kitchen is all the music of Alicia Keys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all hip-hop dance and everything. Yeah. And I think you would love it. And Outsiders, the males, the dancing, and it's just so strong. And it's such good music. So, yeah.
Brilliant.
Hell's Kitchen.
Done. Mm-hmm. So, Zion, you're year 13?
Yeah.
So what's the plans next year?
I really love travelling. So I recently just had an open day for the New Zealand School of Tourism.
Cool.
So I'm planning to do a flight attending. I haven't really looked much into like the musical kind of side of stuff. But that is, that's something that I'm not really sure if I should. I'm not sure why, but I feel like it's something that I would leave as kind of like my side hustle almost.
That's cool.
But yeah.
That's still cool.
Especially in New Zealand.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
In Auckland, we've got such fantastic community theatres that do great shows.
You mentioned your dad played a big, influential part, especially through the church and the music. Is all your family singers? Do you all enjoy singing together, or are you all sort of individual, or is the car ride here quite fun?
It was just me and Mum today, so it was a bit quiet because,
Mum, sing on the way home.
But yeah, me, my brother, because I only have one sibling, it's just me and my brother and my dad, we all love music. My mum, she loves music, but I don't know if she's really, into it as much as we are. But my dad's family, all of his siblings and his parents, they either play an instrument or they sing. So I feel like we got a lot of the musical influence from that, from my dad's side of the family, to be honest. So, yeah.
That's cool. I'd imagine on the show, Emma, we've had so many people over the years where school has been influential in their next career path in the arts, but also church. Especially for music. Church produces such a great sound. So yeah, lap it up. Lap it up. Now, Maui, you said Broadway Dreams have also got some fundraising and things coming up. What's that all about?
Yes, so this Friday they're doing a ice skating fundraiser. It's specifically fundraising so they can give scholarships to people who need it to do the Broadway Dreams showcase in New Zealand this January. So, yeah, it's upcoming very soon, 24th of October.
Yep, information on Broadway Dreams NZ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What would you say for someone thinking, should I sign up for Broadway Dreams like in January or whatever? What would be your sort of tips and tricks?
Well, my first time of doing it was this year in January.
Right, cool.
Yeah, and
so I don't have the seasoned experience of somebody who's done it regularly and knows what it's going to be like every time. But from the experience that I had, and then from the experience that people told me in preparation for this New York thing as well, I guess, it's really great at connecting people. You get to meet a lot of people from a lot of different places within musical theatre. A lot of them are similar aged, but there's also a bit of a range. Definitely goes... I actually have no clue. and it's really great for, again, pushing yourself and feeling, and really getting all sorts of different colours out of you as well. The creative team often put people into positions in which is slightly out of their comfort zone, so it can kind of help them grow into different directions. It's a really great experience for learning, but also just for having fun and for... just taking steps forward.
Dion, what was the biggest learning for you in Broadway Dreams, or what was your out of comfort zone?
The whole thing in general. I'm going to be so honest. It was so different. It was such a different experience, but honestly, it was in the best way possible. I met so many different people. Everyone brought like a different vibe to the whole experience, but it was really good. I only knew two people from that I already knew from outside of the workshop, but meeting everyone else, it was a great experience, if I'm going to be so honest.
And so the two of you, along with Bianca, is that traveling now? You're all brand new friends. Did you know each other before this?
No. Well, I think I had seen Bianca in something, and I knew Bianca was a friend of a friend, but that was it. So I had never talked to her before January, the original New Zealand showcase. Mm. Yeah.
Fantastic. What about you? Is this sort of all meeting for the first time, getting to travel together?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I hope you're good flight buddies, because it's a long flight. That's a long flight.
And you staying together over there, or how does it work? Have you been placed with families over there, or what happens?
I think the plan is that we're staying together, but there's been a lot of bouncing back and forth of which place to go, and then there's this issue, but it's fine, yeah. I think we are staying together.
Give your music teacher a shout out, who got all this going for you.
Ope longe, thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you so much. Ope longe, Sam.
That is so cool. Well, we wish you both a fabulous time at Broadway Dreams. Go and travel safe, have an amazing time, represent our country well, and keep getting out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so important, so important. Great to see you again, Maui. The best. We'll look forward to hearing what you're up to next. And Zion, just go and embrace the world. I feel like it's all in there waiting to come out. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you got to do is make Mum sing the whole car ride home.
Yeah,
all right, so kick out said. Thanks so much, guys. Travel safe.
Thank you.
Well done to everyone at Broadway Dreams for making that a reality. Time for some music now. Midnight Till Morning, coming down under, performing in Australia and I believe New Zealand. Here is Heart on Fire.
You did, but you did it.
midnight till morning, Heart on Fire. Jump onto YouTube. You can see all their show dates coming up with their music videos. Emma, I've decided I don't want to be 50. I want to go and be 18 again, like those kids, and go off to Broadway Dreams.
Yeah, that would be quite cool.
Wouldn't it? Like the opportunities young people have today. Not that we didn't, but ours, you know, you mentioned about, you know, imagine going to Broadway. I think I can remember the 747 jumbo jet to Aussie to see Phantom of the Opera. That was, I think I was 18. That was next level back then. Where now, you know, they're fundraising and zipping off for just a week in New York.
Just a week in New York. I actually thought when you said that you didn't want to be 50 anymore, that you wanted to be younger, you were going to say you wanted to be younger so that you could go to Alex, who we're about to meet's thing, which has got a children's version and an adult's version. You want to go to the children's version because you wouldn't cope with the House of Horrors.
No.
It's not a house. It's an interactive thing. It's not a house.
You can't even get me into spookers. I just drop people and go, cool, have a good night. I'll see you in a couple of hours. I'll pick you up.
But
happy
you
to
would
be
go
taxi.
To the family one that everyone can do.
Do you know it's spookers they get you, though? Because if you drop in the car park, there's a public toilet available, and you've driven all that way, and you think, oh, I'm just going to use the toilet, and then I'll come back and pick the teenagers up later. Oh, no, someone's waiting in the toilets. So you can't even use the toilet before you go, can I say? All right.
Not so that was a very messy segue into introducing our next guest.
So from the shows Dungeon of the Damned and Code Word Cabaret, welcome Alexander, Isabel and Amy. Great to have you all here. Hello.
Thank you so much. Wonderful to be here.
Fabulous to have you here. And Alexander, we'll start with you. I've got a sneaking suspicion that Dungeon of the Damned is linking us to Halloween coming up.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So Dungeon of the Damned is the North Shore Scare Maze meets interactive theatre show meets escape room. So it's sort of combining.
That's cool.
Yeah, I guess we're trying to combine sort of all those fun elements into one weekend of scary, spooky stuff that we're having at our studio in Birkenhead. Yeah.
Brilliant. So what can audiences expect? Do they get all of that for the price of one? Sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so so what you'll do is so you walk down into our dungeon, which is where we do all of our stunt training and stuff, and then you'll meet lots of various different characters. You'll meet Vlad the Impaler, who is obviously Dracula, that Dracula's based on. Van Helsing, you'll meet some witches, you'll meet some other knights, like undead knights and stuff. You get to do axe throwing, and you'll get scared along the way. You solve puzzles. Yeah, so it's going to be it's a whole event. So yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, really, really cool.
That sounds like fun. Emma mentioned the family version versus the non-family version. So are there different time slots for different
things? The adult version.
Adult.
Yeah.
Version.
The family version.
Oh. This is all going horribly wrong.
I love
it. Family version. Yes. And the adults
version. So they're different versions
of the same show. Yeah, it was interesting trying to problem solve. How do we make it family friendly, but also, you know, lots of adults want to go and get scared and spooked and stuff. So how do we make a show that sort of ticks all those boxes? And the only way that we can do that is have from 5 till 7 have it as a family event, and then from 7 till 10 it's adults only. So that's when you really get to scare people. And
they
stuff,
did
yeah.
used to do that at Spookers because I remember. Yeah. I think it was my son's 13th. We went to, it was called something else, not Spookers, when it was the younger one. But they also did the really cool, they gave you a glow stick. And if you didn't want to be touched or approached, you could hold the glow stick up so that the actors knew not to come too close to you because you were going to freak out.
That's
and I thought that was quite
that's
good.
That's quite clever, yeah.
But
yeah.
I know I put my 13-year-old in the front and I hid behind him.
Yeah, and who's awesome. Part of this show? So who's making this whole team up?
Yes, I'm directing it, and we have a whole bunch of amazing actors that are working the gig as well, which is great. And we've got more and more getting involved sort of each week, really, that are wanting to get involved with the show and get to spook people and play a cool character, and it's awesome.
Is it fully sort of scripted or planned out, or is it kind of 80% improv with a bit of a run sheet? What style of theatre are we talking about?
Yes, I would say it's probably 20% impro, just to give the actors that freedom. And my background from the UK is the huge, massive interactive events, and so we're really taking that idea and putting it within our shows as well. Sort of each year we try and do something different around Halloween. Usually we do medieval banquets and stuff. But this year I was like, oh, let's do a scare maze. Cause the, you know, the studio is sort of built for that really. Cause it's a huge dungeon and, we've got, you know, weapons and armor all over the walls. We've got suits of armor and, yeah, and shields and all sorts of cool stuff and, yeah, gruesome heads and things, you know. So, yeah, it's
why not put them to use?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. We'll talk more about your studio and some of your other work shortly. Let's just jump to Isabel and Amy for Code Word Cabaret. Are we scaring anybody and throwing axes at them in your show?
Well, we don't currently have any axes in the show. Whether
it's never too late.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Alexander.
Yeah. We'll talk after, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, collab. Whether we're going to scare anybody or not, I suppose, would depend on the sensibility of the individual audience member.
Okay, yeah. So what's it all about?
So it's kind of a variety show. We've had everything from, we've had fight scenes before, we've had dancers, musicians, actors. Basically, it's a show for performers who are between shows.
Okay.
And I've got a crazy idea, I want to do this.
Okay.
Yeah, we really committed to the variety in variety show. We are people who are enthusiasts about performing art in general, and we love to be able to surprise our audience members, and we love to be able to give performers who we know are very talented the freedom to create without boundaries. So we have, as Amy said, everything from spoken word poetry to musical theater to dance to burlesque, and we just want people to come with their craziest idea or just something that they've always wanted to do but hardly ever get a chance to, and audiences love it.
So you, when do you open?
The 4th and 5th of November.
Yes,
okay, so at the moment are you sort of in rehearsal or piecing it all together, or do people have people pre-rehearse their own piece and your job's just to pull it together at the last minute? How does this work?
So we have a couple of different ways that we put our cast together. Either people will reach out to us and let us know an idea that they have that they want to perform, or we will reach out to people that we know are talented performers but maybe haven't had an opportunity to fully explore certain sides of performance that they, you know, like, for example, we have one person in the show who generally does opera singing, and this gives him an opportunity to do other types of singing.
Nice.
That he doesn't generally get to. So some people will come to us with an idea, and other times we'll reach out to people who we know would be interested in doing something like this. And so because of that, some people already have fully fledged pieces that they are bringing out for the first time in a long time. Other times people come with an idea but they haven't fully finished it yet, and other times we reach out to someone and say, do you want to do something? And they say, absolutely, I don't know what it is yet though, and they let us know a couple of weeks out.
Wow.
So so at the moment we are in the process of sort of putting all the pieces together. Everybody knows what they're going to do, they are working on their pieces, it's coming together looking really exciting, but we're sort of just facilitating them to do that. It is very much their art, and that's really important to us. Like,
is it their sort of time slot, and they've got a certain amount of time they can use as well? Yeah,
it's kind of a platform. We have the space, we have the audience, we've got a little bit of a following from our workmates now, so we're like, come, show up, do your crazy idea you've always dreamed of.
Yeah, we give them 5 minutes, generally. We have a little bit of leeway sometimes, but generally 5 minutes. And then we create the running order based off of what the piece ends up being like. So that is very fun, creating the running order that we think is going to bring the audience on the best journey. It's very fun trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to put this crazy, raunchy, burlesque drag act and then somehow get the audience to then go on this really somber, emotional, poignant spoken word journey, right? So that is quite fun. And Amy has the task of trying to change the mood of the audience partway
through.
Just
throw some X's in there.
Yeah.
That's right. But
I like these sort of shows because as an audience member, I can get bored pretty quickly. So for me, it's like, if I don't like one, I know something else is coming within 5 minutes and it's going to tweak and change. Where, you know, sometimes you can sit in a very long 3-hour show, and if you're not hooked, you're not hooked. It's a long 3 hours. Emma, I feel like our theatre restaurant characters, George and Mary, are needing a return. We could be Code Word Cabaret or, you know, the dungeon sounding quite interesting.
Mary would be screaming the whole time.
But that would just be part of the fun, having these two old characters running around screaming. Yeah.
There we go. He's offering our characters come and do
come
this
love
for
it.
Show.
Come
and scream. Come
hired.
And scream.
Done.
How many, have you done these before, the Code Word Cabaret?
Yes, yeah. This is our fifth one. We've been referred to as the show your ADHD theatre friend will love.
Love it. Where's it taking place?
We're at Double Whammy on K Road.
Okay, great. Is it too late for people to enter and act? Are you all full?
It is too late for this one. However, so far we have been doing 3 shows a year. So if you are wanting to get involved in general, then people can reach out to us. Absolutely let us know that you're interested. And come along to the next show and see what it's about as well, to see what kind of a piece you think would fit the vibe.
Brilliant. I haven't heard of Double Whammy.
That's right.
Is it double? Because I was confused. What's the difference between Double Whammy and the Whammy Bar?
Okay. Okay, so there's a whole story behind this. So Whammy Bar was the original. They bought the wine cellar next to them, turned it into Public Bar. That's now their public-facing area that you go through to get to Double Whammy. The wine cellar had a back room that they did events out of, which kind of connected onto the back of Whammy Bar. They had another room there as well. They tore a wall out and then made it one big space that is now called Double Whammy. So it was Whammy Bar and Double Whammy. We're in Double Whammy. We started out at Whammy Bar to a much smaller crowd, and now we are doing 2 nights at Double Whammy. So, yeah.
Probably a paragraph you never thought you'd say in your life. How many people does it seat?
150.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I've totally missed this.
I know.
We need to go and visit.
Such a good venue.
Now, I have been to your fabulous venue, Alexander. Now, tell our audience a bit about that, because it is such a cool space.
I'm biased, but I think it's pretty cool.
It is. Very cool.
It's a 200 square metre underground dungeon that we've sort of made into a medieval training facility, really, for not just our stunt trainings, but also we do like EOTC stuff for schools. They come and do archery and axe throwing and sword fighting classes as well. Theatre companies come in and use it for rehearsal space and also performance space as well, because it's like a really small, intimate space for performance as well, which is awesome. And because it's a dungeon, we just turn off the lights and it's a black room. So you can put lights wherever you want and the audience wherever you want. So, yeah, because I've got severe ADHD, everything goes on wheels. So all the walls move around, everything, you know, the thrones is on wheels, all the walls are on wheels. So everything moves around in different directions, which is awesome.
Was this dungeon there? What was it before you had it?
Did Birkenhead have a dungeon?
So it's been a few things. So it was a martial arts school like about 20 years ago. And then it was also a restaurant that apparently kept getting closed down because of like health and safety violations with cooking, because there's no kitchen there. So it doesn't surprise me that it kept, you know, getting closed down there.
So when you do your medieval dinners, do you have to bring
cooking? Yeah, it's all catered in. We don't do any cooking. Or anything. Okay. You get it all catered in. Then, you know, people get the best food then, which is great. We just, you know, do the entertainment. Yeah. And, the banquets are awesome. The banquets are really, really fun. Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant. All right, we're going to take a music break, and then after the break, we're going to catch up about your arts journeys, and then we'll come back and talk more about your shows a little later on. Good friend of the show, Hera, has released a song called Fear Is My Friend. Take a listen.
I need to know when it will kick in. I'm still intact, but my
My friend. The seconds are stretched out and time is no more. Suspended in silence, my gut on the floor. As I wait here for the oncoming spring, I know my mean a thing. My friend.
Is my friend Hera. Check it out on YouTube and all your favorite music sites. All right, let's back to our guests now. Chat a little bit about their journey in the arts. And Alexander, when we read your bio, it's very different to many bios we see that come through the Kick Arts doors because of your background and your training. Tell us a little bit about it. When did it all sort of kick off for you?
Yeah, so I guess, I mean, since I was a teenager, like, acting is the only, as, you know, most of us actors, you know, it's the only thing we were, like, you know, for me anyway, it's the only thing that I was really good at, you know, really enjoyed all the acting, and I really enjoyed that. So then I did 3 years at college, straight from school, and then I did 3 years at drama school. I was really thankful to get into a drama school called East 15 in Essex, and that was a degree in acting and stage combat, so it's a, you know, joint degree. And then worked in the West End for a couple of years straight after that. I was very, very lucky to go, you know, straight from, you know, 21, going straight into the industry and working solidly, which was very, very lucky, which was awesome. And then, yeah, moved to New Zealand and started up, yeah, medieval school over here and, yeah, work in the film industry and theatre shows and, yeah, theatre scene, yeah.
So you're training in stage combat, but I guess, you know, movies, theatre, etc., you're providing that safety net. You're going in and are you helping to actually block those scenes that need, say, a sword fight or something in it?
Yeah, so I guess I wear a few different hats. So I'm a performer, also a fight director, so I choreograph fights for film and theatre, but also a stunt performer as well for, yeah, movies and TV shows and stuff like that too, yeah.
That's cool. What made you think I'm going to move to New Zealand and set up a stage combat school in a dungeon in Birkenhead? Like, how did that all piece together?
So I was a knight for a jousting company in the UK when I graduated, which is like your as a stage combat guy, that's your like bread and butter. You know, that's your coffee job. You know, that's what you do. You go around on the castles. You know, you go on the horses. You get, you know, smacked around by, you know, amazing stunt performers. And yeah, so that's sort of your day job. And then you're also hustling as an actor. You know, that's sort of your life for a while. And then when I moved to New Zealand, you know, I really missed that side. So that's the idea for the medieval school. But the reason why I moved to New Zealand was Lord of the Rings. I mean, you know, it's all filmed here in Spartacus. Oh man, yeah, I'll just get a one-way ticket. I'll go over there for a year, get a working holiday visa, and I'll just door knock and try and meet some of you know, the people that are involved in it. And I've been so fortunate that I've been able to meet many people who were in the original Lord of the Rings, and I even got a fantastic opportunity to be part of the stunt team for the TV series, Lord of the Rings TV series. So that was awesome. That was like a you know, sort of putting out in the universe, you know, I wanted to work on Lord of the Rings and, you know, I had no idea they were ever going to bring out a TV series, but I was, yeah, very fortunate that I got to work on it. So that was, yeah, I worked with some amazing people and people who were on the original Lord of the Rings. So I was sitting around, you know, just chatting to people who were, you know, fighting in Helm's Deep, you know, oh my gosh, that was amazing. That was, you know, so cool hearing all the different stories. So, yeah.
Brilliant. And today, you mentioned earlier, you know, you're trying to get school groups through and things. Mm. Where's your sort of the most of your work today?
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Is that a changing
phase? Yeah, ever-changing, yeah. And I think COVID had a lot to do with different things too, you know, things changing as well. And, you know, the saying for me in my school is adapt or die. So if something isn't working, we've got to adapt it. So, yeah, hence all the different things and the various things that we do. You know, we do homeschool classes, we do after-school clubs, holiday programs, we do theatre shows, short films, movies, team building exercises, stag nights, hen nights, all sorts of stuff to make it work. Yeah, it's pretty fun.
What a dangerous stag night that would be.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
It would be really cool. Really cool and really dangerous. Yeah, that's awesome. What such a good mix. And is there a team behind you, or do you sort of have different people, different projects, different contracts?
Yeah, because everybody's contractors that come through the school, because, you know, everyone is jobbing actors, right? So it's a great place to work if you're, you know, in between jobs and you want to, you know, keep your skills up with sword fighting or stunt work or teaching or, yeah, anything like that, really. Yeah, this is sort of the coffee job of the performing arts, I suppose, really. So
nice way to put it. Fantastic. Okay. All right, moving down now. Isabel, tell us your arts journey. When did it all start or kick off for you?
Well, I don't really remember a time that I wasn't acting. It was probably when I was a teenager as well that I realized that acting was the most consistent thing in my life, probably the only consistent thing in my life. And so I was like, well, I guess I should probably keep doing that then. Mostly I've been involved with community theater. Most of my art has been volunteer, I suppose, rather than working in the industry. I have done some paid things. I do circus art every so often. We're coming up to the busy season now, so people might see me on stilts at various Santa parades soon. But this has been my first foray into creating something of my own, and it's been really cool. So just for the last year and a bit, stepping into producing, and definitely hoping to do more of it as well.
And when you say all the acting sort of in those earlier days, was that always in plays or musicals as well?
Always in plays. No, I don't have the musical bone, unfortunately. It was mostly in like school productions, and I also went to the Aspiring Young Actors Drama School as a teenager as well. So it was always just a part of my life, even though it wasn't something that I guess you would put on an IMDb page or a resume.
Brilliant. I hear a bit of an accent.
Yes, I moved here when I was 6 years old and just thought I would be different, keep the accent, I guess.
So where's home?
Well, New Zealand is home at this
Where
point.
Where was your first home?
I was born in California.
Okay.
So, yeah, but I have definitely spent a lot more time here.
Yeah, it's funny. Just certain words and things that come through. Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, Amy?
Mine is kind of a journey to get to it. I, you know, grew up performing, grew up in the islands, so my performing was a little bit different. I learned a lot of Pacific Island dances. Came back to New Zealand, went to high school, did all the drama, loved it. Got some bad advice that, oh, nobody can do it professionally, only the really talented ones. So I was like, all right, well, I'll go do something in a similar vein. So went to uni, got an event management degree, and COVID hit, and the events weren't really popular. So I was working in other odd jobs, watching movies and being like, man, I miss acting. So I fell back into it. Booked myself a ticket to France and went to go study in France for a year at a French drama school.
Wow.
So I had the best time there, and that was when I came back, started auditioning for things, just missing creating, because at school you're constantly like, oh, let's do something. And that was when I was auditioning, didn't get stuff. I was like, well, just create my own stuff. So fortunately, Izzy kind of agreed to come on board with me, and rest is history.
How did you two meet?
We knew each other through my boyfriend. So Izzy had been in a play with him. It was a play that got him back into acting. And yeah, we were kind of acquaintances at the stage. We didn't really know each other. I'm messaging her to see if she'd got the role. And yeah, then I had a brainwave in the kitchen and was like, would you be keen? She was like, no, I'd love to produce. Done.
Brilliant. Okay. All right, I'm going to ask you a question we asked our young people before. If you were listening, I would have given you a heads up. If a producer walks in the door, offers you an opportunity to star in any role on screen, on television, film, theatre, music, performing, biggest stunt cover for someone famous ever, who would it be and why? Ooh, I can see there. Eyes ticking over. Alexander, who would it be? Or what would it be?
I think if they did a historical movie about Henry V,
ooh,
that would be really cool to play Henry V.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. King of England, Henry V, that would be awesome. All the knights fighting,
yeah,
you know, arrows flying.
And you can say, I can do my own stunts.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Don't need a stunt person,
yeah.
Although, would he have done any stunts or just ordered people around?
Oh, no, he was famous because he was a fighter, you know.
Really?
He was, in the thick of it with all the common people. And that's why he was loved so much, Henry V, yeah.
What is it about sort of these medieval times and tales that attract you so much to it? Because you're very passionate about it.
Oh, I think because I grew up in the UK, you know, and you're surrounded by castles and that history and, you know, all the fairs, the medieval fairs and Robin Hood and, you know, dragons and, you know, all that sort of, the myths and legends, you know, that, yeah, I think if you grow up on that, that becomes part of you. And, yeah, that sort of history when you're, you know, if you go visit a castle and you're touching stone walls that is hundreds and hundreds of years old, you know, or you're walking down a corridor that Henry VIII used to walk down, you're like, oh my, like, that is just so old, you know? Yeah. And I guess the appreciation for history, I think, is what... what I love.
And they haven't knocked it down and built a Kmart.
Well, there we are. Not yet.
You've got your dungeon. Have you ever thought that one day to build the castle?
The castle, yeah.
Win lotto.
That's right. I think starting off, you know, with a dungeon and then we'll scale it, work our way up.
I don't know that a castle on top of that building in Birkenhead would have the right thing,
but
it would be cool over like a moat or a river.
This is true. Yeah, we'll have a chat after this.
Come up with the funding.
The funding, yeah. So if anyone's listening who wants to fund
a castle,
just leave it to me.
Oh, that castle that used to be, you know, on your way to the Coromandel, and it was kind of in near Maramarua, and there was that castle before they created the bypass.
Yeah.
There was that really cool castle there.
It was.
And that's not too far away.
No.
Well, it has to be centre, right? I reckon it has to be right smack in the middle of Auckland. We'll just build a massive castle.
Well, look, the council keeps arguing what to do with the viaduct. Put your hand up and say, I've got an idea.
I've got a great idea.
Castle would look amazing as people come in the cruise ships and they'll be like, what the hell?
We'll have jousting shows.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You can come do some circus stuff.
Perfect.
Oh, my God. Oh, done. You guys can do the radio show there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Done. Sorted.
Amy, what about you?
Oh, I was thinking about it. It's kind of a combination. I love studio. It's very ironic because I'm so animated in person. But the two that came to mind were Studio Ghibli and Maggie Chan, who just did K-pop Demon Hunters. They're such beautiful movies that I was like, oh, animation. Mm-hmm. Even though in real life I dance, I talk with my hands, I'm a sign language user. So being behind a mic is a very different experience.
I don't think we've ever had anybody pick an animated character to take on.
But that would be quite cool.
It would be cool.
Yeah.
You just said sign language.
Yeah.
So you do a bit in that space?
Yeah. So that was the other half of my degree. I studied sign language. So we've been able to have our shows be sign language interpreted and audio described.
Brilliant.
Which is so much fun. We get such feedback. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know music could look like that.
Yeah.
Because you don't think of music as looking.
Yeah. I love that.
Notes.
And so are you doing the interpretation yourself?
No, we have, there's a wonderful team called Platform Interpreting.
Mm.
So they are absolute specialists.
Kelly is amazing.
Oh, she's so good. So we bring them on, I MC, and then they make my words look beautiful.
What made you add that to your degree?
I was homesick one day and scrolling through YouTube and started following these videos and then realized, oh, I need a minor, and AUT has a sign language program. So I did a couple of classes, fell in love, and added another year.
That is so cool. That's cool.
It's so fun.
And I actually think that a lot of people got into sign language or interested in sign language actually during the pandemic.
Yeah,
watching,
totally.
Watching the signing going on be, you know, every
and then
day.
The controversial ones overseas where they weren't signing the right thing. They were brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, what was that famous one in Aussie? And they, it was a total con.
Yeah.
And they hadn't vetted the person.
Yeah.
I love that.
Have you ever seen Catherine Tate's skit where she is the interpreter? Go and Google Catherine Tate interpreter. And same thing, someone says, oh, we've got this multi-UN type meeting and I need someone who can speak 20 different languages. And Catherine Tate says, yeah, I can do that. I can't even repeat it on radio because we'll get it will get cancelled. But there are some brilliant moments in that. Brilliant moments. Okay, so Isabel, producers walking in the door, offering you what?
I actually have, for a while, really been wanting to put on the non-musical version of Yentl. There is yes, because it's based on a short story.
Yeah.
And at the same time as the movie was being developed, a stage play was being developed, and because the movie was going to be a musical, the play couldn't be. And so there's a non-musical version that is a lot truer to the original story that would be amazing to put on. I don't think it could be put on as a movie, I think legally, but it is a really cool stage play. And yeah, I would love to be in it in some capacity, either playing Yentl or the love interest. I don't really mind, but yeah, I just think that it, I have to see it one day or be in it or make it happen.
You guys won the best award for the most different answer to that question I think we've ever had. Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely amazing. I've always wished I could see her live, but she her whole career has been very limited on what she'll perform live. Mm. She actually has huge anxiety performing live, massive anxiety. So she will only ever do occasional concerts. Yeah.
Do you get anxiety when you perform, Alex?
I think I get excited and nervous. You know, I think it depends.
I would be really worried in your job that I would end up hurting someone. Like, that would be my fear. Like, if the axe went slightly to the left.
I think I get more nervous with the lines now than fight. I was fortunate enough to play a small role in Spartacus, the new one coming out, and it's a very, very small role. But I was, you know, the fight scenes were great. That was all awesome. I was so nervous about the three or four lines I had, you know. I think I get more nervous about that now.
At least with on screen, though, if you stuff it up, they can redo it.
Yeah, it's true.
Whereas if you mess up while you're doing a live performance, you know, it's not so easy to cover, is it? You can't redo it. Hang on a second, I'm just falling off my stilt. Let me try that again.
Well, you guys do live performance every week.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we stuff it up too.
We quite often have a lot of laughing going on in here.
Yeah. But that's the magic, though, isn't it? That's the magic of live performance.
It is.
You know, that is so different.
Yeah, that's the buzz. Have you ever, I guess, choreographed a fight scene or done some directing in theatre space where you've actually pulled the plug and gone, actually, you guys are not safe enough to do this particular thing? Or have you pulled back and gone, okay, that's too advanced, you're not coping, I need to change it?
Yeah, no, I have, absolutely.
Because I guess safety's such a key part of your career, really.
Yeah, for sure. I think that I think when I was younger, I was more inclined to push harder on the performers to get the end result. And what that leads to is just, like, frustration from both parties. But that was driven from a younger me being, like, so passionate and being like, look, you have, like, I know where it can get to, you know? It can be so much better than, and I know you've got it in you. Let's, you know, push, push, push. But what happens is that people just get, you know, people get frustrated. They're thinking about lines. They're thinking about everything. The fight scene is so minimal in any of the shows. You know, you don't want to be thinking about that stuff. So now I just pull right back. And if something isn't feeling safe, isn't feeling great for the performer, we just, you know, reduce the moves. So now I'm not afraid to make the fight lesser, lesser than what I think it could be for the sake of everyone feeling great, everyone having a good time. Otherwise, it doesn't become a fun experience, I think, for performers. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah. Do you think more people are bringing in, because I know more people are bringing in intimacy coordinators, do you think more people are bringing in like a fight coordinator.
Yeah, and I often use the intimacy coordination thing now, ironically, as a reason why you need to get the professional fight director in, because probably about five, oh no, it was probably longer than that, maybe about 7 years ago, I went to Canada to do this international seminar in stage combat and stuff, and Alicia Rhodes was there, and she coined the phrase intimacy coordinator. So this was this new thing called intimacy coordination, and I thought it was a load of rubbish. I was like, this sounds absolutely rubbish. What are you talking about? And because, unfortunately, I'm someone who is very open-minded as well as being stubborn. So I'm like, I'm not just going to think that without having knowledge of it. So what I did is I booked in all of her classes and didn't do any of the fight stuff, and then learnt this thing called intimacy coordination, which was amazing. As you yet now often uses me as an example of why you need to actually just throw yourself into it. And so yeah, and then since then, obviously in the last 7 years, intimacy coordination is this huge thing now. And now yeah, I use that as a reason to go, hey, you wouldn't let them do the kiss scene or sex scene without an intimacy coordinator, so you need to bring me in to do the fight stuff, you know. Of course. Absolutely.
I agree. MTNZ has an intimacy discussion on Monday night, I believe. Zoom.
There is. Experts online panel is on intimacy, creating safe spaces. And there's three expert panelists who are intimacy coordinators talking about that. So, anyone wants to do that, it's open to anyone to be a part of. That's Musical Theatre New Zealand. So jump onto their socials.
Because, you know, you and I are very much in this theatre space, and I mean, I've used the lovely Daryl as our intimacy coordinator on a number of things, but even last night, like when I'm going to shows now, I am very much in tune going, I hope that they have used somebody. I didn't look in the program, but you know, just that you get those special moments. Now, last night's show was interesting. It had some big fights, so Hunchback of Notre Dame had some very intimate moments and a couple of decent, massive sword fights. So, same thing, yeah. And they may have, because I'm just making a total leap. Was that you?
Yeah, it was.
Because it was really good. You know, noticeable that they had, it felt well rehearsed.
Did you do the intimacy coordination?
No, I didn't. The fights, yeah, they were such a pleasure to work with that cast and crew. They were awesome. And it's such a great theatre. I've never been in that theatre before. And obviously, I've choreographed their stuff before, but I've never gone into the theatre to the show. So now it's a fantastic, they've got trap doors and all sorts of cool stuff. They've got a revolve there.
It's a good old building.
It's a great building. It's so old as well. I like that old building it's very it's very cool. But now they're a great cast.
Brilliant. Alright, I'm going to take a short music break, then we'll quick fire questions our guests, and then wrap by talking about the shows coming up. Here is Anna Coddington with Aho. Anna Coddington, always a treat. Now, Emma, the Auckland Theatre List has come in, and lots still happening this week here in Auckland. Fizz, the live comedy by Mischief Theatre. Think, whose line is it anyway? But live, local, and bursting with mischief. A hilarious night out of improvised madness fueled by our wild suggestions. Expect lightning-fast games, over-the-top characters, local gossip spun into global tales, and pure chaotic joy. Find out more at thevic.co.nz.
And rehab's still on at the Pump House. So based on lived experiences, rehab is a pressure cooker of chaos, quick wit, and raw humanity, offering audiences a slice of life experience to the high-stakes world of a residential rehabilitation centre. That is happening at the Pump House from Wednesday this week through to Saturday. So jump onto Pump House to find out more about that.
And there's lots coming soon, so head to the Theatre List to get all the details. But one that caught my eye is Life on a Loop.
Peach Theatre Company.
Fabulous Jesse Peach. He was my Charlie in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when I think he was about 12. Good old Jesse. And he's back from the UK with this very special show at the Q Theatre. For Grace, Christmas Day is just like any other, filled with the same songs and stories played on a relentless loop, echoing the rhythms of dementia and elderly residents she cares for. After 30 years in a rest home, the repetition can wear her down, but Grace still turns up with spark, energy, and a glint in her eye. In Life on a Loop, Ali Smith's vibrant one-woman show, we meet this exhausted but fiercely likeable carer who finds joy and real connection in the monotony. Go and find out all the details. It's playing at Q Theatre from the 11th to the 16th of November. Head to qtheatre.co.nz. If you've got something coming up, email us info@kickarts.org.nz so we can pop you in the bulletin, and we've got a few slots coming up in our shows over the next few weeks, so flick us an email. All right, quick fire round now to wrap our show. Are you ready? Brace yourself. Alex, if you could go back and sit your 16-year-old self down in front of you, what would you say to 16-year-old Alex, knowing what's ahead of you?
I just don't give up. You know, don't give up. Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's what I would say. I don't know. What do people say to
you? I don't know. I was thinking it might be pick up an axe, yeah, or, you know, go.
No, because I think I already knew. I was 16, okay. So I was already at college training as an actor there. So at 16, I was already, yeah, my first or second year of college. First year, I think. Yeah, first year. Yeah, knowing what I wanted to be. So, yeah, still just push on. It's going to get tough. But just, you know, just keep going.
How do you ride that wave of, you know, busy times, quiet times and stuff?
Yeah.
Or is it always quite busy?
No, it does get quiet. It gets quiet in the summer. But, you know, the rent still needs to be paid in the venue, you know, these things. You know, but it's more events, I suppose, in the summer. But, yeah, I think, just keep going, keep pushing.
Always have something in the calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There is, yeah, yeah.
All right. Amy, Creative New Zealand, walks in the door right now, hands you a blank check and says, go and do a project of your dreams. What would it be?
Ooh. I have been getting a lot more into music recently, so I'd be keen to do something musical. I don't know exactly what that would be. It would be a lot of building up skills, but really gotten into that recently. Started playing guitar again, taking up old hobbies. So something music-based.
Something music-based. Okay. Isabel, you could choose any act anywhere in the world to come and join your next Code Word Cabaret for a 5-minute slot. They'll fly in, they'll perform, anybody you like. Who do you feel you either A, is missing and you need, or B, you just want them as your headline?
I would love for David Tennant to come in and do some sort of monologue. He's an amazing Shakespearean actor. He's an amazing, just amazing at everything that he does. So that's the first thing that came to mind. I'm sticking with that.
Nice. Nice. I like that. Okay. Time to plug your shows now. So Code Word Cabaret, remind our audience, if they've tuned in halfway through the show, what it is, then when it's on, and where people can get tickets.
Code Word Cabaret is a variety show that really commits to variety. Prepare to be surprised and excited, maybe a little alarmed at times, but it's going to be amazing. It's at Double Whammy, November the 4th and 5th. You can get tickets on Eventfinder. You can follow us on Instagram at Code Word Cabaret, and you can email us if you have any questions at codewordcabaret@gmail.com.
Brilliant. Amy, if Emma and I pop along and we hide our secret microphone in the exit to the double whammy, what do you hope audiences say as they leave?
Oh, I mean, we're kind of in the audience, so we kind of put our ears together. It's always, I love to hear what people liked the most, what one they're like, oh my gosh, because no matter the act, we always have somebody who loves it. There's always positive feedback for every single act. I love just hearing the buzz. Like, it's not even specific words, just people buzzing. Oh my gosh, that was so good. I didn't expect that. That was so funny there. This bit. Oh, that was my favourite. That's my favourite.
Okay, love it. All right, Alexander, tell us again what's happening Halloween weekend for you and where can people get tickets and more info.
So it's the 1st and 2nd of November and it's, the show's called Dungeon of the Damned and you can get the tickets from iTicket or just Google, you know, Dungeon of the Damned and I'm sure will come up. And yeah, the shows start from 5 and then go through till 10 o'clock and tickets are $15 to $20. And yeah,
how long is the actual show?
Yeah, so because it's the walkthrough maze, it's probably about half an hour.
Okay.
Be between 15 minutes to maybe half an hour, depending on how quickly you want to go through and how many axes you want to throw, I suppose. And yeah, how long you want to hang out in the dungeon. Yeah.
Right, so also the audience get to throw the axes.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
At them.
Not for this show.
Just to the way you described it at the beginning, I kind of had visions of you having to go through the maze and dodge the axes.
Yeah, they've stopped us doing that now. Yeah. Which is such a shame. I know.
Work safe these days.
It's gone mad. Health and safety gone mad.
Brilliant. Awesome. Well, thank you so much to all three of you for coming in on Kick Arts tonight on a Sunday night. We appreciate it. Hope your shows go well. Stay in touch and let us know what you're up to next. Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, guys. You. Emma, you've got a very busy weekend coming up with Junior Festival.
Yeah, so it actually starts tomorrow with the pilot program. So we've got 94 students from across the Motu coming to work on two brand new, yet to be released Broadway junior shows, which are top secret, so I can't say what they are.
Amazing. We'll
and
have
then
a
the festival in the weekend.
And the weekend. We'll have a fabulous time. I look forward to coming and checking it out. We started our show with our two young people heading off to New York, so it feels appropriate to end the show with the song New York. Have a fabulous week, everybody, and make sure you
kick some arts.
Is the capital city of the USA?
It's not.
The city I swore I would see for myself one day.
But you've actually been to New York before?
Yes. No, but I have seen Home Alone 2 quite a few times.
You serious?
There's pizza for breakfast. There's steam in the air. It's candy, not sweets, and the streets are called sidewalks there. My town, where everyone has an apartment to spare with a skyline view. Where even improbable dreams come true. Where everything comes with a smile, a high five, and a side of cheese. I'm down on my knees.
That's our train.
New York. I'm already talking the talk in New York. I'm already popping the cork, cause I'm ready. To be in New York, are they ready? Are they ready for me in New York? Is that Times Square?
Nope, that's Queens.
Awesome. She's called the Big Apple. No one knows why. But she's my kind of town and I'm her kind of street smart guy. I'll stroll up the Broadway. I'll order a beer. I'll scream at the Statue of Liberty. Hey, lady, I'm walking here, my home. City of stories where everything's 70 stories high. Where everyone kisses their blues goodbye. The cinema city I've waited the whole of my life to see. Are you talking to me?
Nope.
New York. I'm already talking the talk in New York. I'm already popping the cork cause I'm ready. I'm ready to be in New York. Yeah, they're ready. In New York,
I'm just gonna.
It's a city of angels. It's a city of sin. It's a city of immigrants, buddy. I'll fit right in. The land of the brave, the home of the free, the Liberty City, where even my father wants to hang out with me. Home, there's snow in the city tomorrow to see it come twinkling down. And that's why they all call it Tinsel Town. There's hundreds of thousands of people just living the dream out there. And there's love in the air.
Okay, we're about to leave the train and then we're going to be in New York.
Yes.
You're not going to freak out?
No. New York!
Brush your teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah.